city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. Anyway, how's everybody doing? We had some great football games last week. As you know, I'm a football fan. And how about that Minnesota miracle, right? That's why I love football. It kind of reminds me of the body of Christ in a way, because it's a team sport, and they can't do it without each other. They need each other. So it's kind of like the same thing. Anyway, here I am again. Oh, I hope we don't have technical difficulties today, which it seems like we are having. Anyway, I just lost my connection, so now I'm back on, and I hope it stays on. Anyway, we're going to talk today about the daddy syndrome. The daddy syndrome, you know, so many people want to have a mother and a father in the Lord, and they get carried away with this whole thing. They start calling their pastor daddy or their so-called mentor, I really don't like that word, because it has a meaning. I don't have the meaning in front of me, actually. I'll try to get it for you, but it's kind of like a Greek mythology thing. It's not really a Christian word. Or we disciple. We're disciples of Christ, and we disciple people in the Word of God, but it's not really a Christian term. But a lot of times people tend to worship their mentor. I was watching some videos today, and it's very interesting want to do a little bit of research yourself, because some of the people that I'm going to mention, you can go and look at some of the video from their lives. And it's really quite shocking how people will follow these false prophets and these antichrists. Ugh, they say the most despicable things, but yet you see that they have these great followings, and you wonder why people can be so foolish to some of the people. They sell everything, and like the people that followed Jim Jones, and they sold all their possessions. Originally, he started out in California. And he was a member of the Disciples of Christ. I don't really know that much about that church. I didn't really do too much research on it this morning. But anyway, he was a member of this denomination, Disciples of Christ. And his big thing was, in the beginning, is how he got the attention of the city fathers. And he was doing things for the poor. And he was coming against racism. And we see a lot of that today with some of the false prophets and false teachers, where they make a big deal out of the fact that they do charity. They have feeding programs. And for instance, we'll take Paula White. And she's big on, oh, we gave away all this food, and we give away backpacks. Now, most people can afford pencils and papers for their children, really, when it comes right down to it. But if you're going to give away backpacks, people are going to come for the backpacks because it's free. I remember that a neighbor of mine years ago, she said the county is giving away trees. You can go get a free tree. So I thought, okay, I'll go with her because I'd like to have a free tree. And I didn't realize that when we got there, there was hundreds of people there just to get this tree, standing in line for I don't know how long to get this tree that you could go and buy for probably $5 or less. It was a small thing. But if people know it's free, for the most part, even if they have the money, they're going to come and get it. And some people are really poor. That's true. Jesus said, you'll always have the poor with you. So if he said it, then it's true. It's true. You'll always have the poor with you. But for people like Paula White, that they make a big deal out of the fact that she feeds all these people and she brags about, we gave 70,000 pounds or whatever of food away. And this is the ironic thing. One of the things that I found quite hilarious really about her giveaway program is she goes teachers' lounges. Now, you know that in the state of Florida, we have the lottery that is supposedly is supposed to supplement what the government gives to schools, which I don't know, really. They make billions of dollars on this lottery, but still some of the schools here, they meet in trailers. They don't build enough school rooms, so they put up these trailers, and the kids go into these, that's the kind of buildings they meet in, at some of the schools anyway, so I don't know. Well, you know, when there's a lot of money involved, there's going to be corruption, so anyway, when you see these people that brag, and especially con artist preachers, they like to brag about how much they give away. And really, they rob the people on Sunday, and then they brag about they give away all this food out of the kindness of their heart. But it's really to get the attention of the local authorities, and they want the publicity about all the good works that they're doing. And so, anyway, it's it's really funny. So anyway, Paula White, she goes to these teachers' lounges, and she was redecorating the teachers' lounges at school. Now, come on, I bet that there's people in her congregation that would love to have somebody come and redecorate their house. The people that actually go to her church and really don't have a lot of money and they need some furniture or they need a nice lamp or a rug or something. No, she goes to get the attention, of course, of the teachers and the mayor and whatever, to make herself look important. She goes to teachers' lounges, and she was redecorating teachers' lounges. Like, the state of Florida doesn't have enough money to redecorate teachers' lounges. Now churches have to go do that. It was ridiculous. But of course, it makes you look good. You want to be seen, and you want the praises of men. So anyway, that was one of the things that Jim Jones did in California. He made a big deal about all his charity work, and he was a scoundrel. Ugh, he was a despicable scoundrel, some of the things that he said and he did, and people followed him. They actually, over 1,000 people, actually left everything they had in this country And they went and they lived in this field, basically, in Guyana. Apparently, it was a mission station that they had there for about 3 years before he decided that he was going to take the people over there to live. And then they were building and building and building, but basically people, I don't know what, if the living conditions were ever that great there. Could you imagine going into a jungle and you have to start building, you have to get your supplies from a faraway place, and then it seems like it was probably a mess. It looked like they had a lot of barracks and probably people were sleeping in big rooms together. And how uncomfortable can that be? And of course, there's always, you know, when people don't have their own room or their own space or whatever, you start getting into it with people, right? You start getting frustrated. So you could imagine what kind of frustrations were going on there. Plus, the guy that they were following, this Jim Jones character, he was a drug addict. He was a pervert, a sexual pervert, which usually goes along with false teachers and false prophets. They can't control their appetites. And of course, then they have this God complex that Jim Jones, he thought he was God. He said he was divine. So this is one thing to really be careful of. If you're in a church or you watch prophets, so-called prophets on TV, and they tell you that they want to be your daddy, you better run for your life. I mean, get out of there, pick up that Bible, pick up that purse, or your wallet, or whatever you can, your car keys, and run out of the building so fast that don't ever go back, because you are in trouble when somebody, some preacher, male or female, tells you they want to be your mother or your father. No, thank you. I had one mother and one father, and I liked them very much. In fact, I love them very much, and I wouldn't have wanted any other mother or father. And I have one father who is in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Hallelujah. And Jesus said to call no man father. So why do these preachers think that they could come into your life and they want to interfere with your life, which they have no business doing? Of course, we all want godly counsel. There's nothing wrong with godly counsel from people that you trust. But most in churches, most of the time, the pastors don't even really get to know you as people. How can a pastor of a large church, say he has 1,000 people, how can he even get to know you? They don't really spend that much time with their people, especially the big people, the big name people. You can't even get to them because they gotta have bodyguards, and you can't talk to them. They don't have time for you. Try to make an appointment. I don't know. Does anybody ever get an appointment with Rod Parsley, Pastor Parsley, as he likes to call? Even his wife has to call him Pastor Parsley, and his daughter. Does anybody ever get an appointment with these guys? They want to be your daddy, but most fathers, they spend a lot of time with their children, and these guys don't, or these women, and then they want to run their life, your life. They want to tell you what to do. They know about your life. They want to control your life, because most of the time they want to control your life because they want your money. Your money. And they try to make you think that they love you and they want to be your daddy and they want to be your rabbi, your teacher. And well, in Matthew 23, now this is Jesus talking here, so I take what he says I take his word above anybody else's word. When he says, don't look for all those greetings, Matthew 23:7, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi, oh, there's the great one over there. And be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. That's what you are. You're a brother and a sister, just like everybody else. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, but one is your master, even Christ. Now, didn't Jesus know what was going to happen? I mean, come on, Jesus. Come on. He knew all about it. He knew that human beings were going to walk the earth, and they were going to say, I am the Christ, and I am your master, and I know all things about your life, and I know how to tell you how to run your life. Like I said, there's nothing wrong with godly counsel. I respect the counsel of my friends that know me and that and they love me. I'll listen to them. But then again, if it's not what I feel like God is telling me to do, then I can't do it. I can't do it. But most of these cult leaders, you have to obey them or else, you know, you're rebellious. And there was even one guy, he says, oh, if you don't, this is another one that they say, if you don't, like Paula White said a couple weeks ago, if you didn't give her first fruits, something bad is going to happen to you. Like what? Like what, Paula? Just like a typical cult leader, if you look at some of these guys on the videos, you see this one guy from the Philippines. I can't remember his name right now, but oh, he's God. He's God in the flesh, he says. And when you look at the video, you see the church looks like a Pentecostal church. They're in there. They're dancing and they're clapping and they're singing and they're praising the Lord. But who's the Lord? The Lord's the pastor. Yeah, the Lord's the pastor. And he says that if you leave his church, you're probably going to go to hell. That's what he said. No, you can't leave. You can't leave him. And you see, the church building, and then he wears this funny outfit, and the stage where he has his the props and everything, it's really spooky. And then the poor people that are there, and then they allow themselves to come under his spell. Oh, I'm telling you, it's frightening, really. Really, really frightening. And if you go, really, if you want to do some research, I think you'll find it very interesting. If you go and you look, especially this guy, Sun Myung Moon, he's dead now. But what a creepy guy. And you see, the followers, and he had thousands, tens of thousands of followers. He would marry people. He would marry people in these mass weddings, and they never met each other. They would marry total strangers, but the marriages were arranged by the Moonies. And they actually started a newspaper. I don't know if they still own it. The Washington Times actually was a newspaper that was started by this cult leader. Yeah, well, they were trying to talk about fake news and trying to legitimize their cult by reporting news. What a way to get your message out, you know, is to buy a newspaper, and the newspaper is owned by a cult, the Washington Times. Like I said, I don't know if it's still owned by the Moonies. I'll try to find out before we close the broadcast, maybe while I'm playing one of his audios. But I also found it interesting that this moon guy, Sun Myung Moon, he liked to call himself Reverend Moon, but of course there's not one reverend except God. Yes. And so I thought it was interesting that Moon said that Jesus was a failure. Yeah. Jesus was a failure, so somebody else had to come back, and it was him. He is the Messiah, Moon. And also that Kenneth Copeland also said that God was a failure. Yeah, Kenneth Copeland said that. And I'll play the audio. In fact, let me play that audio for you so you can hear it, because here's a cult leader, if there ever was one, Kenneth Copeland. And I think I just saw a story about him getting a $36 million jet. Now, don't you know that he needs that jet to preach the gospel? I mean, you can do a lot of preaching. You can do a lot of preaching with $36 million. Are you kidding me? Yikes. But yeah, he had to have that jet. At least he can fly it. He is a pilot, so let's give him that. You know, he can fly it, because at least he doesn't have to hire a pilot. But here's Kenneth saying that God is a failure.
Is in the Bible actually is. Okay. You know, everybody asks, you say, who's the biggest failure? They say, Judas. Somebody else will say, no, I believe it's Adam. Well, how about the devil? He's the most consistent failure.
Okay.
But he's not the biggest in terms of material failure and so forth. The biggest one in the old Bible is God. What? Don't you turn that set off. You listen to it. I told you, now you sit still a minute. You know me well enough. No, I wouldn't tell something that I can't prove in the Bible.
He lost his top-ranking, most anointed angel, the first man he ever created, first woman he ever created, the whole earth and all the fullness therein, a third of the angels at least. That's a big loss, man. I mean, you figure all that, that's a lot of real estate, brother, gone down the drain. Now, the reason you don't think of God as a failure is he never said he's a failure. No. And you're not a failure till you say you won.
Yeah. Oh, brother. Is that the biggest bunch of nonsense you ever heard in your life? Huh. Well, that's how false prophets and cult leaders are. They have to put God down a notch, you know, put him down. God's a failure. He failed like Fred Price. He said Jesus committed suicide. And then I'm going to play this audio here from a debate that was done with the Moonies. And if you look on YouTube and you put in Reverend Moon says Jesus is a failure, they come up with this video series that they did, this Christian group did, where they interview members of the Moonies and they discuss these things with them. But there's also, the audio wasn't really good, but there was an audio of this Reverend Moon, and I believe he spoke English, but most of the time he used an interpreter when he was speaking, but I think he spoke English. And he's at Madison Square Garden, he has an interpreter, and he also is saying that Jesus Christ was a failure, and Jesus appeared to him. That's another thing that these guys love to say. I have news for these guys. My Bible says Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's not appearing to anybody until he comes back again. So if anybody tries to tell you that Jesus appeared to them, he didn't. That's not in the scripture. No. He said he's coming again. That's the second coming. So I didn't know that he comes and he routinely visits people, special people. And then they have to tell you about it. And then they have to tell you about it, and they have to tell you how special they are, because Jesus visited them. And that's one of the things that Moon says, is that Jesus appeared to him, and you know that makes him special, because Jesus appeared to him. And So if anybody tries to tell you that they went to heaven and they went to hell and Jesus appeared to them and he spoke to them and he told them how great they were going to be, no, no, that didn't happen. What did Jesus say? I mean, after Jesus went through that whole thing about don't be looking for titles, he said in verse 11 of Matthew 23, but he that is the greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. That's what the Bible says. So you have to stay small in your own eyes, because then you get into trouble when you try to be something you're not, because then you're going to fall into the trap of hero worship. And I have news for you. You know that pedestal you're standing on? You're going to fall over. You're going to fall off the pedestal, because we're all human. We're only human. And even though we're born again and God made us righteous and we have the Holy Spirit and all that, we're still going to fail. We are. We're human and we haven't arrived yet. So if anybody tries to tell you that they don't sin, and I'm not saying willful to go out and want, no, I'm saying that we as human beings, we miss the mark sometimes. And that's why we need a Savior, because the Bible says we work our salvation with fear and trembling, and we're working it out. We're working it out. We don't start off, even when we're young Christians, we don't start off with the meat of the word of the God, word of God. That's why the Bible says that we have milk, and then we grow up in the things of the Lord, and then we're able to take the meat of the word of God. So we're all learning. We're all learning, and there's no great one on the earth. I don't care what your pastor says or what that TV preacher says. There's only been one great one that ever walked the earth, one perfect person, and that was Jesus Christ. We know he was here, and he was perfect in all ways. We're not. Anyway, here's this clip about Moon.
Declared this message. Koreans deserve hell, so that nation must suffer. Christians all over the world deserve to decline because they did not accept me, end quote. As Christians, we prayed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit. Now we should pray in the name of the true parents, end quote. And I could go on with quote after quote, and as Erling was just mentioning about the media, I do have one quote from the media just to tie in what he was saying in a negative way. A quote from Reverend Magazine from 1974, quote, God is now throwing Christianity away and is establishing a new religion, end quote. So there, Reverend Moon readily acknowledges the great difference between the religion he's promulgating in the name of Christianity and his own religion. He's basically saying that these are two different religions. He's saying that Jesus did fail and left things undone, whereas when we read the scripture that's been passed down to us for the last 2,000 years, and Reverend Moon wasn't there at the beginning, but the apostles and prophets were, and then the church, early church fathers and those that came after them have been passing the scripture down to us today. They knew nothing of a Reverend Moon. Reverend Moon suddenly writes this book, The Divine Principle, which I have here, makes all these claims, and as you've been hearing from him in the Master Speak series, he makes all these claims about speaking with Jesus and other avatars or other prophets, and men telling them that he has to succeed. You know, he has succeeded Jesus, and he is carrying on where they failed, basically, or they surrendered to his will, or they were in subjection to him, Reverend Moon, making Jesus under Reverend Moon. But we don't find that when we read the scripture. We find that Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the creator of the world, Colossians chapter 1 says. Also John chapter 1 and many other places. He created all the world, Revelation chapter 3. And to have Reverend Moon saying that, well, if Jesus is under me and these other guys are under me, I find this hard to believe in light of the scripture. And I guess it makes sense because, and this is what I'd like you to respond to, either Laura or Erling, since the scripture are so adamant in saying that Jesus is God, he's the creator, that he is our only savior, that we must trust in him, not Reverend Moon. How do you look at the scriptures? I'm reading.
Yeah. How do they look at the scriptures? I've never looked at that book, The Divine Principle. I might look at it. I think it would be an interesting book or an interesting topic to do one day. Actually, it would be even more interesting to have somebody that's a convert from the Moonies to and converted, actually got born again, to come and give their testimony, because that is one weird cult. Whoa! That is a weird organization. I remember years ago, a pastor friend of mine had received an invitation. I think this was back in the 1980s sometime, maybe the late 80s, early 90s. Anyway, Moon was trying to legitimize himself, and that's why he bought the newspaper, the Washington Times, and then he was holding these political meetings, and he was inviting pastors from around the United States to come to this meeting. And I think Tim LaHaye got involved with Moon. I think Jerry Falwell did too. Quite a few of them took money from Moon. And he would invite the pastors to come, and he would actually pay their airfare and put them up in a hotel. Now, this pastor friend of mine said he was going, and I was like, why are you going? Oh, well, you know, it won't hurt to go. You're going to go. You know who the Moonies are. You already know who they are, and you're going to go because he's paying your airfare and he's paying for your hotel. And he's starting this political action committee, whatever. And he's started this newspaper. So you're going to associate yourself with Moon? Wow. It was hard to believe, but many pastors fell for it, and they went. They went to this thing. But it was quite shocking, really. I was shocked that he would go. And that, because it was so obvious what Moon was trying to do by inviting these pastors to come and join him. Anyway, Moon's dead now. He's dead. I don't know if they think maybe he came back. I don't know what's happened to the Moonies. While I'm playing this Paula White clip, maybe I'll look and try to see. You don't hear that much about them anymore. And let me see if they still own the Washington Times. I'm going to look at that. But let me quote a few scriptures before I play. Paula White, Divine Mother. I have the whole video, the whole clip up on YouTube if you want to go to my channel, Susan Puzio. She likes the people, the men especially of her church, because, you know, she trains these people. She calls them PITs, pastors in training. And so she trains these men, supposedly, and then she sends them out. Apostle Paula, that's one of her titles, too. Apostle Paula, you have to call her. Our apostle. And also they call her the angel of the church. Now, that's creepy. She's the angel of the church. Oh my God. Yeah. The angel. Yeah, the fallen angel of the church. Yeah. The angel of the church. I don't want people talking about me like that. No. Don't talk about me like that. It gave me the creeps even to hear that. And here is our angel of the church. And so anyway, she lets and her husband sits there. Her husband, the Stepford wife, the guy with Stepford wife syndrome, Jonathan Cain, he sits there. And he lets men call his wife mother. Grown men. Grown men. I mean, full grown. Supposedly intelligent men. One guy's even an attorney, I think, And one guy's a football player kind of guy. And I think Ashley played football or coaches football or something. And they're calling her mother. Ugh. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I even can't. The thing I can't believe more is that this woman actually is supposedly counseling the president of the United States. That's the thing I can't believe more. That a woman who makes grown men call her mother that aren't her son. No, that I can't believe. Anyway, if you want to see the video, it's up on my channel, Susan Puzio, Paula White, Divine Mother. I'm going to play a clip after I read a few scriptures. Mark 13:22. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show great signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Matthew 24:24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And one of the things that these cult leaders say is that we have miracles here, like Jim Jones. Oh, he could heal people. He said he healed people. Yeah. And then he would say, when he was laying hands on people, would say, and in the name of Jesus, he would say, somebody maybe walking in off the street, if they didn't know who this guy was, they would walk in there. They would think they were in a Pentecostal church, you know. 1 Peter 2:1, for there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Psalm 119:104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Amen. Luke 6:26. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. Yeah, that you better watch out for that. For so did their fathers to the false prophets. Yeah, they like to flatter. Oh, they love to flatter. Yeah. Job 36:4. For truly my word shall not be false. He that is perfect in knowledge is with thee. I read Psalm 119. Don't bear false witness. Okay. All right. So Proverbs 25:14 says, whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. Yeah, they like to tell you, oh, I have this gift, I have that gift, and I'm so important. And, you have to watch out for that. Be careful. Anyway, here's this guy. His name is Duma. And supposedly now Duma has left Paula's church to go out and start a church of his own. Now, this is a grown man with a wife and a child, and you're going to hear this if you can believe it. You'll hear it for yourself.
His followers, though, he was and is God incarnate.
That was the wrong clip. Let me get the Paula White clip. Paula White, Divine Mother.
I have awesome privilege to discuss the value of a spiritual mother as it pertains to Pastor Paula. And so a parent is divine as one that begets or brings forth offspring, or a person who brings up and cares for another, and that's what we have embodied in Pastor Paula. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Colossians 3, verse 20 says, children, obey your parents in all things. And when it's talking about all things here, it's talking about all things that are consistent with the law of God and the gospel of Christ. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. well-pleasing here means, and is a reason sufficient to engage to the performance of the duty. For whatever is grateful and well-pleasing to God ought to be done with pleasure by us, from a principle of love to him, by faith in him, and with a view to his glory. And then such an action is acceptable in his sight through Christ Jesus our Lord, because he, God, is the one who ultimately arms Pastor Paula with authority for our development. You may be seated. What we have to understand here, as we are honoring Pastor, a spiritual parent is responsible to make decisions necessary for our development, whether we agree or not. I am so glad that the decisions that Pastor Paula makes is not based on my emotions. It is based on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that gives us those decisions, because sometimes we don't agree all the time because our feelings and our emotions will try to make us want something prematurely or try to get something. But thank God we have a spiritual mother that knows when to activate, when to pull back, when to move us into certain seasons, when to withhold. Amen? Because ultimately it is for our development. Now, her primary focus is not just to be our friend, even though she is, but the primary focus for her to prepare us for our destinies and our God-given purposes. Because I've learned that our capacity as spiritual children is determined by the caliber of leader that she is. Amen? And so our ability or power to do, experience, or understand is based on the quality of her character and the level of her ability. So her process in life can save us time. Certain things that she goes through can save us time. Now, I understand that principle very well, just like it is for my son. Based on what she goes through, I may never have to go through that because she already paid that price. Amen? And so the spiritual world rules the physical world. Say, the spiritual world rules the physical world. Another way to put it is spiritual things are more important or takes precedence over natural things in terms of priority. Spiritual things influence natural things. That's so important because she is our spiritual mother, and she is incubating us, carrying us in the spirit world, and nurturing us, and ultimately will birth us into greatness. That is so important because the things and the principles of God that she is teaching us, if we can grasp hold of it and receive it, it will eventually influence our natural world. If we take the principles on trusting God, standing by faith, and apply those principles, which are spiritual, that she's downloading to us, it will influence our lives. If we take the principles of how to be a godly husband, a godly wife, it will influence and produce natural results in our families. Can you say amen? And understanding that, that is a big responsibility. How many here feel that there's greatness in their life? So think about this for a second. The greatness that God downloaded into you, as great as he has shown it to you, he packaged all that greatness up and he put it inside of Pastor to incubate it, to carry it, to nurture it, and to ultimately give it birth. That is a big responsibility. Where some of you guys will birth companies. Some of you guys will birth dreams and visions.
I don't know about you, but is that some of the most pathetic talk you ever heard in your life? Oh, that guy has it bad, let me tell you. It's called being a zombie. You're zombified. What, she incubates? She what? Incubates you? What? What are you talking about? I don't know. I mean, people get carried away. They get. Please stop it already. I don't know. Why do people get so carried away when they go to church? Why do people get crazy? I don't know. First of all, that's not really a church over there. That's a fleecing center. It's not really a church because if it was really a church, they would really care about the people. Paula, Pastor Paula, mother, she wouldn't be caring about incubating grown men. You don't need an incubator. You don't need an incubator when you're grown. Oh, please. How can anybody how could anybody even go over there after they heard that foolishness? What is wrong with people? I certainly, if that was my husband talking like that, now we would have to have some serious words, I would tell you right now. I wouldn't care about having any so-called apostle Paul to help me start a church. No, I wouldn't want anything to do with it. I didn't get born again and free to be go back into bondage and sit under some woman that's going to incubate me that I have to call mother. I'm not doing it. No, I'm not doing it. That is dangerous. That is dangerous. And if you look at some of these cult leaders of the past, now here's one. I never heard of this guy, but I saw him this morning. I think his name is pronounced Bashiri, prophet. He's prophet, Bashiri, pastor, whatever. Anyway, when you look, he's from Nigeria. When you look at his videos, which are frightening, really, he's standing up on a pulpit, and there's a wrought iron fence in front of him, so you can't get to him. And then he's got these, you know, Farrakhan. When you see Farrakhan, he's always got these bad-looking dudes standing around him with sunglasses, his bodyguards, right? They look bad. And so this Bashiri guy, he's got these bodyguards in front. And I noticed Paula does this too. She's got these men standing at attention in the front, guarding, like they're guarding, you know. And so this guy has that too. Now, if I'm standing in a pulpit, now things do happen in churches. Yes, they do happen, okay? Yes, that does happen. Sometimes things happen that shouldn't be happening in a church. But in reality, for the most part, it just makes, it tries to make, the fact that these people have these bodyguards and they won't let you near the pastor, it kind of makes them look like they're so important, for the most part, when they have these bodyguards around them and you can't talk to them, for instance. Like if you were trying to talk to them at a meeting or after a meeting or after a church service, for the most part, you can't talk to them. They won't talk to you. So if you're a minister, you're supposed to be ministering to people. That's the idea of ministry. You're supposed to be accessible to people. And so I would say sometimes maybe they might need a bodyguard, but if they only have a bodyguard because they don't want to minister to people, then that's not right. That's not right. But anyway, let me play this. This guy's scary. This guy's scary.
Any vision of Major One? The 2018 vision. Vision. I'll launch it on who? You know, I have been in the prayer mountain. I've been in my prayer place to pray. I have, you know, and I want to pour it out all that on somebody. No, that somebody is in Hawaii. And the one in the hot seat. On Sunday, I want you to bring that prayer point. You will leave it with me. What have I said? Those are your prayer petitions for the whole year. You need to give them to your spiritual father. And you will say to me, Papa, I'm giving you this. Know what to do with my problems. When I hold that paper, Don't give your friend. I want it my you to give to me. I'll be going overflow by overflow. I'll be standing in the front personally. And you bring it at my feet. You're gonna bring it yourself. So a prophet can change your story. Are you hearing me? Are you getting me, somebody? How many believe they are coming with a testimony? I told you that God is releasing the anointing of cars. I told you, already, we have received 10 people with the testimonies of God. Rest up for prayer points. Drop it down. Pick it up again. It is done. I hope you know the ground you had to put it, right? Whichever hole, I don't care. Do you know what has just happened now? Do you know? Okay, I want your testimony. Those watching on the TV, thank you for watching us. I hope I'll be with you again tomorrow on our day number 6 of fasting. The 6th day. God created the world in 6 days. I'll be with you personally. On Sunday, I am meeting all of you. You are coming here. I'm meeting you on Sunday. I want to help you to break through your heaven. And your life will never be the same again. Keep watching prophetic channel. Stay connected to remain. Prophetic channel, God is still. Loves you. Shalom.
That is really scary, isn't it? You hear the people in the background, and the room was filled. There was hundreds of people in there. There might have been a few thousand in this room there. And they're like children. These are grown-ups. You hear them squealing when he says, I'm going to be here personally, and you're going to come. Now you take this prayer sheet home with you and bring it back and put it at my feet, he says. Yeah, and they're squealing. Yeah, this is horrible. This is horrible. I think a lot of this that's going on, especially in places like Africa and India, a lot of this prosperity gospel came over from this country, and it's affecting them. You notice he says, oh, wow, there's going to be cars. You're going to get cars and promising these people. What's the hook, though? I can guarantee you the hook is this, is that they bring their prayer request and they lay it at his feet, and then you have to lay down some money to go along with it. But it doesn't seem like these people would mind the way they're acting. Why is it so easy? People that claim to know Jesus Christ, which of course this guy doesn't. I don't know if some of the people in that place know him either, but why do people that claim to know Jesus Christ, why are they so easily deceived? Why do they want a savior of flesh and blood? They want somebody they can see. And these people, like this man, he plays in. He plays up to it. I'm like God, and I'm going to be here in person to receive your prayer request, and you're going to lay it at my feet. Well, no, I'm not. And I don't know why these people don't say, no, I'm not. Why don't they realize that they can go home and they could be sitting in their room, their living room, their bedroom, whatever room, they could go out in their backyard or whatever, and they can cry out to God for themselves. They don't need this guy to do it for them. We already have a king. It's like the people in the Old Testament. They wanted a king. They wanted something flesh and blood that they could see. We have King Jesus. Why do I want another king? I don't need another savior. If Jesus can't answer my prayers when I pray to him, why is he going to answer this guy's prayers on my behalf? I thought I only had one mediator, and that's Christ Jesus, because he said he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. So why do I need any other mediator? Yeah, I love for my friends to pray for me. I love them praying for me and lifting me up, and it strengthens me to know that people are praying for me, but there's only one person that can help me. Really. There's only really one person that can really help me, and that's Christ Jesus, the Lord. So I would be careful. I would be so careful. I think it's really frightening what's happening, not only in this country, but in places like Africa and India, where these false prophets are abounding, because there's so many people that live in poverty, and they want a way out. And so these pastors, these false pastors and false prophets, they have these get-rich-quick schemes, and they take advantage. You can tell by the way these people are squealing, especially the women. They're so excited that he's going to be there personally. You could tell that they're innocent for the most part, that they have probably, sounds like, childlike faith. And this man takes advantage of that. That's despicable to do that to somebody. Because there is a heaven and there is a hell. And when we preach the gospel, we can't do it with dishonesty, because it's a heaven and hell issue. It's not, it's just that. It's not a game. It's not for entertainment. It's real life. It's real what happens to us after we leave this life. That's all real. So for these people to do what they're doing, and then they do it in the name of Jesus, which makes it even worse. It makes it even worse. But anyway, let's listen to these clips from Jim Jones. Now, these are really frightening. But for some of you that weren't alive at the time, this was back, I think, in 1979 or somewhere around there when he had his over 900. Anyway, we're back here. We had some technical difficulties. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, we're back. So I'm going to play these Jim Jones clips for you. And you'll hear for yourself just how creepy this guy really was. And how he managed to get over 900 people to commit suicide along with their children. They drank cyanide. Listen to this guy.
In me, and quit praying. I haven't prayed a prayer since I was 5. I got some folks here coming. See what you're waiting for. Is he gonna drop this?
this is the Holy Bible of King James. My grandfather, who was a racist, and the only good in was a dead man. See this? I'm still living. You say, why do you do that? Because that's what's kept you in bondage. That's why women are not free, because you're supposed to come out of the rib of Adam. You're supposed to be cursed because you called that stupid Adam to eat an apple. And if Adam was the first man, where in the name of heaven, after Cain slew Abel, did he go and get his wife? Come on, you childs of ignorance. Why don't you start thinking? That shook you up. See, I can preach it, but when I throw it down, do you know the first time I threw it down? 36 years ago. I stood on it and jumped up and down on it and spit on it because I knew it killed. I knew it was a dead letter. I knew it kept me in bondage. I knew it would keep me a prisoner. And I spit on it 36 years ago. The 8th day of June, 36 years ago, I stood on that thing and I did it a few centuries before that. I'm gonna free myself of some guests tonight, but that'll be one less that'll have to worry about. Because I worry about you. When you're hungry, I gotta feed you. When you're animal, like the sister that brought me the animal tonight, I gotta take care of the animal. Gotta take the maggots out of it. Gotta lance its wounds. Like the brother tonight, I had to break up the impaction. I worry about you. So if you are such a fool as that, you want to get mad because I tell you the truth, then you are going to just take one person out of my hand, because I really put you in the palm of my hand. I'll look after you. I'll care for you. I'd die for you. I put my body right in front of a bullet last week to save people's lives, and this, I did it with my own body. What kind of a fool are you that would not accept me because I tell the truth? Particularly poor black and brown. Those black women walked away, they're mad. Walked away mad. They come up free on the bus, you know. Sometimes we got it. They got no money. Oh, they got no money. Got no money to pay for the food. Got no money to pay for the bus. And that's the way socialism is. You got no money, you be welcome as the daisies in the spring. But when I get through preaching, they find some money to get all the way back to your car in San Francisco, because they won't even get on my bus. Now, right on. Somebody like Joy down there saying, tell it to him, baby. A 90-year-old's not afraid to die. They're getting close to it. I've seen these older sisters jump up and down on their Bible, and they're still living. They jumped up, and when I did it, they towed theirs down, jumped up and down on two. You 25, you act like you're afraid something's going to knock you down. The sisters that are 80 and 90 jumped up and down on theirs, they're still going around real good. Hey, God, I'm not the only one who's jumped up on the Bible. Now, all that hogwash that you've been taught about hell, about this, about that.
All right, everybody. God made the world.
You know you wouldn't do any of the dirty things that your God's supposed to do. And the scripture is much higher, as high as above the earth, heaven's above the earth, above your ways. That's what you said your God is. And yet you wouldn't put one of your children in hell to burn forever and ever, would you? You wouldn't make them stand and pray. You wouldn't make them get baptized. I know you wouldn't.
He'd take a Bible.
You wouldn't make folks say, get them saved. Go and get saved. Go down and get dunked.
Throw it on the floor.
Or come to church every day.
And you hear him say that he had to pray to prayer since he was 5 years old. And
pray and pray and sing. Amazing Grace. Hallelujah. I don't like to sing Amazing Grace. You know why?
And
because the one that wrote that song was a slave trader. Take his name and read it out. He never changed him. To the day he died,
really
the man that wrote Amazing Grace, child, slave trader. He also traded in opium, and he sold black babies and brown babies.
And maybe at one time in
never
their life, they might have known him.
I don't want to hear the song.
He talks about there being some
Amazing Grace
in the church, and they left.
Look to the devil like that.
Him.
It would sell little bodies. No. knows about amazing
and
grace. What's he know about amazing grace?
Diana,
he knows about a vicarious grace, you see.
And later on,
he thought he could do every darn thing he wanted. And after all, it wasn't him that counted. He just leaned on Jesus. He could be a slave trader Monday through Saturday, and on Sunday sing amazing grace, and he'd go in the pearly gates.
It's a real tragic tale, but I think it's something that you need to pay attention to, because there's so much going on right now.
I won't say certain things.
In the
you never hear me preach about hell.
There's so many false prophets out
made up to scare people into going to religion. I wouldn't be that dirty.
What's going on so that we
I've always been straight. You never hear me preach hell. You never heard me preach about hell. You never heard me preach about no 12 gates to the city.
Preach like this name before. Father Cares, the last of Jonestown, from National Public Radio.
How do you feel about you may die tonight?
I'm prepared to die for this family if I have people freedom. Thank you, Dad.
A story of murder and a story of suicide in the jungle of Guyana.
Congressman Brian, you're a wicked man.
A story told by many voices, including the voice of one who might have been there, one who survived.
Ready for his message. He was too highly evolved. His principles were too pure, his commitment too deep, his love too all-embracing for this time, for this planet consumed as it was with hatred and racism and greed.
The most segregated institution in America is the church at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning.
Segregated institution in America.
The most racist institutions are the churches. You can hear hate.
You can listen to the broadcast over and over. All
you can listen
these
to the
religious broadcast.
Over
you can hear
and
hate.
Over and over.
You just listen with a close ear, with a scrutinizing mind. You can hear hate all the time, teaching people to hate one another.
Perhaps Father was evil decades before. Perhaps he was insincere and cruel and even bestial from the beginning, but he was surely bold and exciting with an animal sexuality. His voice was captivating, his presence commanding, his power was overwhelming.
I've got to find out who's willing to think. The truth will set.
It's only right that I get somebody to be like I am.
I
want you to be like me. I don't want you to worship me. I want you to be like I am. I want you to become what I am. I want you to enjoy the fearlessness that I have, the courage that I have, the compassion that I have, the love that I have, the all-encompassing mercy that I am. I want you to be what I am and something greater. I want you to give you more than I have. I want you to be greater than I am. And if you don't want to go this route, then go to hell where you want to, but don't bother me.
Anyway, that is frightening, isn't it? And can you imagine people going to this place week after week and then following this guy and giving up their homes and their cars and their life in the United States of America and going to some jungle in Guyana and living with this maniac? No. Let me know if you all can hear me now. Hopefully we got this sound thing adjusted. Oh, dear. I was disconnected twice already during this broadcast. I don't understand why that's happening. But anyway, then I had to call back in, and it kept disconnecting me. But anyway, we're back. So here's another clip from Jim Jones.
Out here before all these thousands of people present, let's praise the name of Jesus Christ.
Another woman, totally blind, can't see anything. When I got through with her with my power, she was not only seeing fingers, but she told me the color of things and told me exactly everything I held in my hand. People were healed of total blindness last week in Los Angeles. Couldn't see light, I'm talking about.
The healing ceremonies were glorious spectacles of often rather amateurish sleight of hand. But Jim was always quite open about the purpose of the ceremony.
They do not want the healing of the mind. Heal my toe, honey. Heal my back. Heal my bottom. But don't you heal my mind, because my mind is too sick.
Those who didn't like these displays, or later the crude language, left right away. Those who stayed accepted the fraudulence to receive the message, one that became a combustible mixture of sacrilege and socialism. By his own testimony, Father Spark of Divinity had ignited into a great flame consuming all other gods. He said that he had come to the world under the guise of religion for the very purpose of destroying religion. And yet, many of those who had come to the People's Temple from the other churches came with Christianity, and they could say, why not? In this time, why not the second coming? This time, this man.
Christianity was never based on the idea of an unknown God. I'm going to cause you to know that you are what Jesus was. Jesus said that every human being was a God. That is written that ye are gods. I'm a God and you're a God. I'm a God, and I'm going to stay a God until you recognize that you're God. And when you recognize you're God, I shall go back into principle and will not appear as a personality.
You are God.
But until I see all of you knowing who you are, I'm going to be very much what I am. God Almighty God.
For most of those who stayed with Jim, who stayed in the People's Temple, devotion was total. Yet Father demanded incessantly expressions of faith and gratitude, and criticism of Jim or the temple was blasphemy and treason. He had saved them from the sin of capitalism. Their salvation would come soon, soon together. Under his guidance and protection, they would become dangerous and therefore important.
Tried over and over and over to do righteousness and no one receive it. You get them in a corner, they're extremely dangerous. Extremely dangerous, aren't they? And I think you can sense the hands of these people that we are nonviolent people, but we are extremely dangerous. Because we've been fed up with anarchy and fed up with rebellion and fed up with selfishness. Just remember, you don't have anything on me that I care about, because everything that you have on me, I've let it all hang right out for everybody to see. Now you get to worry about yourself. I don't mind losing my life. What about you? I don't mind losing my reputation. What about you? I don't mind being tortured. What about you? I'm just no longer afraid, and I've lost interest in this whole world of capitalist sin. Racism, I've lost interest in it. So if somebody wants to make me stay in it by compromising with filthy-minded people that cannot even have respect for somebody that would die for even his enemies, and they want to cause anarchy in our midst, I would just as soon bring it all to a gallant, a glorious screaming end. Bring it to a screeching stop in a one glorious moment of triumph. So you think about it.
Yeah, that's already, you can see what was on his mind. He's got this persecution complex. And a lot of these false prophets and false teachers, they have that. Oh, everybody's against me. And they refuse to see the error of their own ways. And when you can't recognize, when you can't be repentant and you can't recognize your own faults, then you're in big trouble like this guy. What a manipulator he was. He was already preparing these people to kill themselves by saying that, oh, I'd lay down my life for you and maybe we should just go out of here with a bang and all that. It seems like he was already planning this mass suicide. Well, of course, they had to be planning something, because where did they get all the cyanide from that they had? they mixed the cyanide in with Kool-Aid or something, and then they were all drinking it. Oh, it was a sad thing. The there was a congressman or a senator, Ryan was his name. And anyway, he went down there to see what was going on because he had complaints about the cult and that there were American citizens living there, and he was concerned. So he went down there, I think, with his assistant. I can't remember her name, the lady, but anyway, she survived. She went with him. They flew down there on a small plane with some other people, some reporters and whatever, and they went down there to take pictures and to inspect the place. And you can see the video. There's a documentary that's on the internet, and you can see that they're sitting there and they're talking to Jim Jones, and Jim Jones looks like he's stoned out of his mind on drugs. And he's talking with this representative, Ryan, and he's really paranoid, and he feels like people are betraying him. But there was people that wanted to leave, and they didn't really have any way out of this place once they got there. It was hard for them to leave. And he had armed guards there with rifles. And so Representative Ryan said that he was going to take these people out of there. There was a group of people that wanted to go back with him to the United States. So he was going to take them back. They had no idea that when they got to this small airport that Jim Jones, his bodyguards, his henchmen with the rifles, they followed, I guess, behind in an open truck. And when they got to the plane to leave, Ryan and and some of the people that wanted to leave the cult, these people started shooting at them. And they shot them. Most of them died there on the tarmac. And Ryan's assistant, the lady, survived for some reason. She escaped that day, too. They didn't drink the Kool-Aid, and they were able to run off into the jungle and get away. And they want your life. And the Bible says Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus has give us life and life more abundantly. I just want to close today with this last clip. Also, there's another interesting cult leader, a guy who called Father Divine. Now, imagine that. Well, he claimed he was God on earth. And also, they did all these good works for the poor. And he attracted tens of thousands of followers during the time, and they actually bought an old hotel in Philadelphia. You can see it on YouTube. I think it was later on called the Divine Hotel or the Divine Mission Hotel or something in Philadelphia. And it was a huge hotel, beautiful in its day. Of course, it's restored now because it was vandalized later. And he had all these mansions all over the place, but he claimed that he didn't really want. He wasn't out for money, but anyway, here's a little information about him.
His followers, though, he was and is God incarnate. Father Divine began accumulating disciples in 1919 after buying a home in Sayville, Long Island. The practical bent of his preaching and his intense charisma soon attracted curious pilgrims from as far as the West Indies and Europe. At its zenith in the 1930s, Divine's peace mission movement exceeded 2 million followers, with hundreds of outposts across the United States and as far-flung as Australia and Switzerland. Followers championed racial integration at a time when segregation was the law, and practiced celibacy, teetotalism, and modesty, while the rest of the country was recovering from the Roaring Twenties. Americanism, but called their religion Americanism. They even accepted Father Divine seeming to violate his own commandments by taking two wives in his lifetime, both known as uniquely enigmatic for an international faith leader. Father Divine's origins remain a mystery. No birth certificates or records exist from before he chose to make himself known as Reverend Major Jealous Divine at that house in Sayville. One of the most puzzling elements of Father Divine's story was his wealth. Remarkably, he had managed to become the first black landowner in Sayville. Yet when the boisterous prayer of his disciples and the irritability of his white neighbors prompted an investigation by the district attorney's office, investigators found that Divine collected no money from followers to support the expanding movement.
And do not and will not receive compensation, remunerations, love offerings, donations, or anything of that sort for my spiritual work and activities from any individual. I'm a free gift to the world, gratis to mankind.
By the mid-30s, while many Americans could hardly afford to feed their families, Divine was being chauffeured from mansion to mansion in a private limousine. Peace Mission members ate massive weekly banquets and bought hundreds of properties for the church's use. The source of this seemingly miraculous financial bounty has never been fully resolved, but a great portion seemed to come from followers tying their businesses to the movement's coffers, keeping only a fraction of their profits for themselves. This system allowed the movement to provide plentifully for all of its disciples. Many of the most dedicated lived in self-sufficient communal enclaves where Divine's strict moral code was law. Even now, 50 years after Father Divine, in the language of the movement, laid his body down, a few enclaves exist, populated by individuals who remain faithful to him in every way. What was it that allowed Father Divine to command such unprecedented devotion?
Mother, is it significant that Father returned in the form of a dark-complected person?
The Father coming in, God coming in that expression, he didn't have anything but his own Holy Spirit in mind to work with. You know, Father said he didn't have a letter of the English alphabet. He came in an expression that didn't give him any credibility. No, and he didn't have any ancestors that he could look to give him credibility. He had nothing. And so it took God to do what he did do.
It is all because of graft and greed and selfishness and the impracticalness of humanity.